views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you raising your kids to believe they can create the life of their dreams? Are you living your life that way as well? Living an awakened life means more than just talking about it. Join host Debbie Pokornik on Vibrant, Powerful Moms as she shares practical tips, stories, and interviews with enlightened guests, all geared at helping you create and live an extraordinary life. It's time to stand firmly in your power and model the life you want for your kids to inherit. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you tune in to the vibrant, powerful person you were always meant to be so that you can create a life you love at work, at home, and at play. Today, my guest is Rebecca Liston, who I've had on my show a couple of times now, once as part of a trio, Orange, Liston, and Dew, and then again on her own last May, talking about tuning into our inner knowing. Now, on that call, I found out she had created a natural medicine center prior to her current career, and I knew I simply had to have her back to talk about that venture. Rebecca is a co-founder and business intuitive for Las Peregrinas, where she helps their clients predict, pivot, and compete in an increasingly complex global marketplace. But for today's show, she's here because back in 2002 in Ontario, Canada, she created a profitable natural medicine center before going on to advise other health and wellness practitioners on mindset, marketing, and so much more. Now, there's more to her bio, which I shared back in May and the time before. But for today, I just really want to jump back into conversation with this incredible woman. So without further ado, Rebecca, welcome back to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show.
Thank you so much, Debbie. It's wonderful to be back.
Yay. I'm excited to have you here again. So let's go back in time to even like right before you set up the Natural Medicine Center, maybe. Like, tell us about Rebecca pre-Y2K. Who were you? What were you doing?
Oh, that's great. You know, it's so interesting how we end up where we end up, isn't it? And so I often do think back to that. So my first career, actually, after a long and a long and tedious decision-making process as a 19-year, 20-year-old, you know, I actually worked, first of all, in the world of Western medicine, in clinics and in hospitals. And I finished my career in an infertility clinic, actually, doing ultrasound exams as a sonographer. And so working in diagnostic medicine. And that's where I sort of began my interest in health and in wellness in general, but definitely hadn't considered anything to do with natural medicine at that point. Was all, you know, hospital. Like that was what I knew and that's what I went into. And I worked at, in high risk obstetrics and gynecology. And then I also worked in the infertility world, as I mentioned, for quite a while. And so my total knowledge of health and how the body worked and functioned was very much based on, you know, the medical model of the Western world. So, it was very interesting to change trajectories, if you will, and sort of jump over into natural medicine. It was not I think it'd be fair to say, Debbie, it was not a popular decision, when I made the choice, because this was, I think in different parts, depending on where you are, keeping in mind, I'm in Canada and I'm in a fairly conservative town in southwestern Ontario specifically. So I think, you know, every place within North America was having its different surges or lack thereof in interest in natural medicine. But this was definitely where it was an unusual choice to make. And I took some ribbing from my colleagues in the hospitals and some of the doctors that I worked with when I announced that I was going to go back to school and study homeopathy.
Wow. I bet yeah. you would. Yeah.
Yeah, I did. It was interesting. I'll say that.
So I want to hear more about that. But before we mm-hmm. do, what prompted you to change? Like, why the sudden interest?
Well, I will try to tell the story without getting too emotional if I can, because it's a very personal story, but it's a good one. It turned out well. I always have to preface the story by saying this, but as it happened, my sister, who is a police officer at the time, she found herself quite suddenly very sick with something that none of us really knew what it was. It was undiagnosed, and within about 48 hours of thinking she just had a cold, she was actually, her organs were shutting down. She was going into organ failure.
Oh my gosh.
And so, yeah, it was really, but it did, that's what I would have to say. It turned out okay because she did live. Mm-hmm. But it was a strange, you know how things happen in life and it just, everything in your world just pivots on its axis. Mm-hmm. That's what happened for me. So there I was, you know, tending, you know, at my sister's bedside. She was in the critical care unit in a hospital in which I worked. And the physicians and the critical care team were basically saying to us, like, I'll just never forget it. You know, it's kind of up to her now. Like, we've done everything we can. And one of the doctors pulled me aside and he said, you know, there's this thing. I don't know if you've heard of it. He said, there's this thing called therapeutic touch. Mm-hmm. And he said, I know, you know, my colleagues would probably razz me a little bit, but I'm going to give you this woman's number. We've had therapeutic touch teams in to do energy work and healing work with patients in the past. It's kind of unusual, he said, but I feel like I would like to recommend that you possibly give Barb a call.
Wow.
And so it was bizarre, like bizarre beyond words, right? You know, here we are, we're in this situation. We don't really know what's wrong with her. And I've got, you know, this medical doctor that I've known and I respect saying to me, you know what, I don't think there's anything more we can do. So how about you call in some other opportunities, some other options? And so that's where my interest in natural medicine began, believe it or not. Like, it sounds bizarre. I mean, I had always sort of been interested in different things and different healing modalities to a point, but only from a vague interest perspective. I hadn't really, like, you know, I'd gone for aromatherapy before myself, or I'd, had some experimented with some different treatments along the way myself from time to time, but I had never really contemplated as a career move. And then something about being in that situation where somebody said, look, let's look at some natural alternatives or some complementary medicine. Let's give that a shot. I went, my ears, it's like everything sort of within me kind of lit up. And then the people were just placed in my path. Like one person,
yes.
You know, said this or said that. And then the next thing, you know, as she was getting better, somebody said the word homeopathy. And I said, what was that? And my whole body kind of, yeah, my whole body just responded to it. And yes, as my sister was coming out of the hospital and in her process of recovery, I was applying to go to school for that September to study.
Wow. It yeah. just amazes me how we are primed. We are set up that when the information comes to us, it comes to us in a way that we feel it resonate.
Like, oh,
you know, and yes. I've said that so many times to people that, you know, this just really resonates with me. And I've had some say, so what does that mean? Like, mm-hmm. you know, how does that mean that you know now?
Yeah.
And it's so hard to explain to someone who has never experienced it. But in that moment, it just kind of settles in you. Like, well,
yes.
like the angels are singing and resonating and harmonizing.
It's
real.
It's real. And I didn't even know what homeopathy was. Like, I didn't know, but yet I knew in that moment that I was going to study it, even though I didn't know what it was. I had no clue, but it was just, it was my whole, it's like, as if, like I said, every cell in my body just turned and listened and heard that word. And it went there, whatever you just said, whatever word you just said is mine.
Yes.
And that's my move. And it was very strange because I had just finally, after been working for a couple of years in ultrasound at that time, I had just gotten full-time employment. like it was a weird time to go back to school. Like it, I was actually getting married to my first husband. We'd just bought a house. There was not one single thing sensible going back to school at that time for, you know, 3 years, no less. So I had to work and go to school at the same time because we just bought a house and got married. And it didn't make any sense at all. None. And yet it made all the sense in the world.
That is so neat. Now, just a quick little aside to this. Was it therapeutic touch that actually saved your sister?
Well, I don't know, Debbie, but what happened was we, you know, the therapeutic touch team started coming in and the doctors just kept saying to us, you know, she's, you know, it's still up to her. Like we're doing everything we can and either her body is going to respond to this medications and, or it's not. She was on drug trials. We did, they were doing everything they could. We'd use therapeutic touch and then we also used some aromatherapy because I did happen to know an aromatherapist, but it had never occurred to me to bring it into the hospital.
Right.
That's how, you know, that's how divisive I had it in my head, right? It was one way or the other.
Yes.
And somehow, I mean, to be honest, I don't like to throw the word around, but the team at the hospital believed actually that it was a miracle. So you call it what you will, you know, based on your own faith and beliefs, but they, you know, kind of wrote it up and she was a case study that they still teach. They still teach on her case to this day, 20 years later. Yeah.
Interesting. And you know, we do always label anything unexplainable as a miracle. And
true.
Often it's unexplainable because we refuse to let the information in that doesn't fit within our schema of what we already know.
Yeah.
So very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So homeopathy, I love that's where you went. That's what resonated because it's played a pretty substantial role in my life. And, you know, to this day, it really is the first place that I turn if I get poison ivy. To me, nothing helps with poison ivy except homeopathy, which absolutely takes, like it heals my body. It tells my body what it needs to do. If I slam my fingers in a drawer, you know, immediately homeopathy is going to be my answer. Of course, a lot of people know about Arnica. It's probably one of the only ones that people are most familiar with when they bang their shin or stub their toe or whatever. Yep. So certainly it has played a big role too. But I even called on it when I had suffered a concussion and whiplash and it was very serious. And my book, my first book was just about to launch, you know, and I needed to be able to make it through an evening and go out and present and do the big book launch.
Yes.
And I just had this terrible headache and I couldn't think, you know, how concussions totally fill your brain up with stuff. And my body actually told me, and that's a whole other part of this conversation, but my body told me that I needed homeopathy, Heber Sulf to be specifically for me, which I had no idea what homeopathy to take or why it would be that one, but I just trusted. And oh my gosh, I made it through that evening. I felt so good through the whole evening. I still had the concussion. The next day I still, you know, could feel it. But after that, I took them every time that it's flared up. And interestingly enough, that was 2010. I still have flare ups every once in a while now. And I immediately go to the homeopathy. So anyways, I am a big believer and I absolutely love it. I'm wondering if you could explain a little bit in layperson's terms what homeopathy is and how it can help people.
Sure. I think this is always a difficult question, of course, to answer in many ways. So I tend to talk about it homeopathy in terms of what the philosophy, if you will, of healing, like what's the art behind the actual medicine? What is it? What's the belief system, if you will, behind the, you know, what's the concept behind it? What's it rooted in? And so homeopathy has been around, you know, pretty much since the dawn of time, which is a bit of an exaggeration, but not much. for several hundred years now, when the art and the science of homeopathy was actually sort of discovered, if you will, by a physician in Germany, as it happens. His name was Hahnemann. And so that's just, you know, my 3 second foray into the history of it, the development of the medicine.
Right.
The belief structure behind homeopathy is that there is there's a couple founding principles. One is that less is more. Okay. So in homeopathy, we use it's very, very minute amounts of an actual substance found in nature is used as the healing mechanism or as the medicine. So for example, in herbal medicine, we often take a plant itself when we cut it into pieces and perhaps it's put into an herbal blend or we drink it in a tea, but you can actually see and touch the herb in herbal medicine. In homeopathic medicine, we actually dilute that down. We take a liquid made out of that, we take that plant and we put it in water and we take some of that water that comes off the plant and we put it in more water and we keep putting it in more water and more water, more water. And we just dilute and dilute and dilute the properties or the essence or the energy, whatever word you like, of that substance, of that natural substance is what actually homeopathy uses as its healing power. Its medicine is made from the essence, if you will, of that substance, as opposed to a crude form of the plant or the, the tree, that whatever we're using, the mineral. And so the less is more concept, I think, is important because it really is, when you think about it in terms of even just, physics, right? We think about the least possible, using the least possible force to make a change is actually the most efficient way to do something, right? And we actually learned that in grade 12 physics here, right? So that's an important principle of founding principle of homeopathy. And the other founding principle that I like to sort of talk about is this idea that the law of similars is one of the founding principles of homeopathy. And what that is all about is that there are, you talked earlier about things resonating, right? Sometimes you hear a word and it resonates with you. Sometimes something happens and you hear a story and you're like, wow, that really resonates. I took something out of that. Mm-hmm. When we talk about resonant frequencies in homeopathy, what that's all about is that there's a belief that every substance used as a medicine, and there's over 4,000 of them, every substance used as a medicine has its own resonance, has its own frequency, if you will. And as a homeopath, your job is to take that person that's in front of you, that person that has something going on with their health, mental, emotional, physical, whatever's going on, and find within them, looking for clues and taking time to really understand what's happening and choosing the right homeopathic medicine that matches and lines up with what they've got going on for themselves. What resonates, what matches, and what's as closely similar to what they have happening in their body is going to be matched by this remedy. So we're not looking at treating something with opposition. We're saying, let's find something similar to support the body as its own healing mechanism, as its own wisest, most knowledgeable entity, if you will. So what I always think about in that case is that, we look at the symptoms that the body is producing. Let's say a body has fever and we say, okay, the body is really smart. It's not raising its internal temperature for no reason. It's doing it for a purpose.
Right.
Let's find a way to support what it's trying to achieve so that then the fever can drop, but we're actually achieving the same goal, if you will. So let's place a remedy in there that's going to do the same thing, going to support the goal. The fever is there in order to basically raise the body temperature so that it is not, so that it can kill off infection, right? So let's find another way to do that so that the fever can drop, but the body gets what it really wants. It gets to do what it wants to do, which is to kill an infection, as an example.
Right.
So it's always supporting, finding the similar, how else can we achieve this goal? So I like it because to me, we're working in collaboration with the body and taking the body's taking the body as the thing that knows what it really needs to do and supporting the body to come back into balance.
Nice. I love how you explain that. I've had it explained to me many times, of course, over the years.
Yeah.
And it is a tough one to grasp. So I encourage people, if you find this interesting, breastfeeding. I mean, you don't really have to understand it to use it. If you want to be able to understand, go back and listen to what Rebecca just said a few times, because it really helps, I think, once you get it, that it's not, like you say, it's not going in and telling your body, okay, there's no pain there, so stop. Or there's pain right there, but just ignore it. It's saying, okay, what's causing the pain? How can we help?
What's going on here? How can we help so that you don't have to have the pain anymore?
Right.
Right. It's really about believing that the symptoms that the body is expressing, it's telling us something, and the body is trying to achieve something with those symptoms. We don't want to ignore them.
Yes.
We don't want to say, you know what, that rash that you got from the poison ivy is wrong, so go away, rash, bad rash, like, you know, and sort of like whack-a-mole, you know, like kind of tamp it down and suppress it.
Which
we're saying, okay, the rash is there for a reason.
Right. And that is sort of current, or at least back in the day before I found out about homeopathy, what I was given for poison ivy was corticosteroid cream, right?
Exactly.
To put on the body that says, turn off your immune system, tell it to stop reacting. And yet it's reacting for a reason. So,
right. You got it. Mm. And it is hard to explain, and it's hard to understand. And every time I talk about it, I talk about it a little bit differently over the years. And I've been, you know, this has been a long time since I've studied and been involved in this world. So you talk about it differently a little bit every time, depending on who you're talking to.
Right.
So, you know, it's easy for you and for your audience to use and choose the terms that I just did, because I knew that they will land, right?
Right. Exactly. We're tuned in.
That's right.
Yeah. So maybe you could share an example or story of where you've seen homeopathy work. And I mean, we are just zipping through our time here, so it might have to be a very short one, but yeah.
No, for sure. I think, you know, it was interesting for me as a practitioner when I was practicing homeopathy to sort of really see how often people would come to me in my early days of my practice, thinking that what they had going on was, I put in air quotes, just, you know, a physical complaint. Perhaps they had, you know, painful menstrual periods, or maybe they weren't getting a period at all. I did a lot of women's health stuff, of course, because that was my background. And what is Western medicine was obstetrics and gynecology. So it just sort of followed that I ended up, you know, in the beginning of my career working with a lot of hormonal health issues. And so what happened my own practice evolved as a result of the evolution of people's thinking as I worked within my community with different women, was that they came at first thinking that it was just strictly physical. But as we would work together, you know, usually fairly quickly in our process as a unit of, you know, practitioner and client, we would very quickly see that physical things sometimes are just physical, but often they are more than that. There's an emotional component or a mental component. And so the real work often started there. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, what I really love about this medicine. So in the end of my practice, when I retired, I was really working only with people who actually at that point then identified, yes, I've got anxiety, I have depression, right? I have post-traumatic stress disorder. And I've got some menstrual stuff going on. But in the beginning, you know, it was, I've got menstrual stuff going on. Oh, and by the way, I've also got anxiety.
Right.
But by the end, it had flipped, you know, it's so interesting to watch. So in terms of favorite stories, I mean, I really believe that I've worked with hundreds of people, but I think as a general theme, my favorite part of the work was in seeing people really make that connection between their body and their mind and their spirit and their emotions, and seeing how everything impacted everything else, and really understanding holism, right? Yes. What it is to be this whole being on this planet at this time. And that was the best gift of my practice.
Nice. And I mean, that is where healing begins, right?
Absolutely.
When we can really start to heal on all levels. And oh my gosh. So if you're new to homeopathy, I just want to really encourage our listeners to look into it. I mean, I've seen it work wonders on one of my nephews that had like warts all over, and within days of taking a certain remedy, they just cleared up, all of them gone, you know. And one of my kids had heart palpitations. It seemed to help with that. It's helped kids with bedwetting. It's helped with vomiting, with flus, like just so many things. And that's not even getting into the constitutional remedies and the kind of deeper things. So, oh my gosh, I have so much more I want to ask you about. and here we are at the end of our time. So I want to make sure that people know how to find out more about you. So if you want to find out more about Rebecca and her company, Las Peregrinas, feel free to check out their website. It is a beautiful new website, by the way. I absolutely love it.
And thank you.
You are welcome. And it is at Las Peregrinas, LasPeregrinas.org. And as usual, you can get that right off of my website at vibrantpowerfulmoms.com when you look up this particular show, like the day that this show airs. You can find it right there. So Rebecca, we are out of time, but you might have time to give like a 30-second gem. So any last little thing you'd like to say?
I would just, as you did, Debbie, encourage people to read about homeopathy and check it out. And if they're looking for a practitioner, they can also reach out to me, because I know lots of people around the world who practice and who are excellent at the craft. And so if they need any support with that, I'd be more than happy to connect them with some great practitioners.
Nice. And how would they reach out to you?
Just by email, rebecca@lasperegrinas.org.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for everything that you do and continue to do in the world. I so appreciate you, and I thank you for coming on my show yet again and sharing so much wisdom with us.
Thank you, Debbie.
Oh, you are very welcome. And a big thank you to you, my listeners. I appreciate you as well. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Rebecca Liston, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please share it with others to help spread the love. To find out more about Debbie, pick up free offers from the show, and listen to previous episodes, visit vibrantpowerfulmoms.com.